Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Psalm 15 and cover all five verses of this short psalm. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can send these and any check or money order donations by U.S. Postal to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate by going to bbfohio.com and using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen, or using the drop-down menu on the mobile site. And now we begin our study of Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. This is part 1.
All right, Psalm 15. Getting a little late start, so I'll jump right in with our current events update before we get into the text. Some of you heard about this. This guy named Jussie Smollett. He made a report of being beat up. He went out in minus 20 degree weather because he got hungry and went to a Subway. And there are cameras everywhere, so they got him on camera all but 60 seconds of his trip there and back. And he claimed to have been jumped by two men. After the reports and everything came out, then he claimed that they were wearing MAGA hats, the Trump hats, and they yelled, "This is MAGA country," in Chicago. I immediately said, baloney. And one of the reasons I said that was because, first of all, he showed up at his house. He still had his sandwich. And he claimed that they put a rope around his neck. 15 minutes after he called, the cops showed up and he's still wearing that rope. And that rope was rope you use to put out your laundry. It was that kind of rope. And there's all kinds of things. They have reviewed all the video and hundreds of hours of video, and they got this shot of these two guys and said that they thought they might be persons of interest. There's no evidence those guys did anything but walk. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because I've told you for years, and I think it's getting worse and worse, that they have to demonize you as Christians, especially, because you're not wicked enough. So because you don't do enough bad stuff, they have to make stuff up. They've been doing it since Nero. If you go back and read Christian history, Nero burned Rome and blamed the Christians. Before and after that, they would, if they just decided that Charlie, was a guy they wanted to get rid of, then they would accuse him of incest because he married his sister. Well, he married his sister in a spiritual sense. Olivia is his sister in Christ. See how they twist that? That's how they literally would then condemn Christians. They would condemn them for cannibalism because they ate the bread and the wine, and Jesus said, "This is my blood in the wine, and this is my body." So they accused him of cannibalism. And all these, it was all made up. Well, that's what they're doing here. And I'm not going to read all that, but there's if you read the account, go to I don't know, this is Breitbart here, but I don't know how many other, there's a bunch of other websites, and they talk about how his story just doesn't make any sense, and they're starting to question it. He refused to hand his phone over. He finally handed over phone records which were heavily redacted. He thinks he's the FBI or something. So the rumors are that the Chicago police are considering charging him now with the false report. Well, this happens all the time. This is a list right here of 17 faked Trump hate crimes where people claimed that a Trump supporter, one of them, a guy showed up at a Trump rally wearing a Trump hat, yelling, MAGA and all that, and then he assaulted a news reporter. They found out the guy's a fake. He's not even a Trump supporter. He went there posing as a Trump reporter and attacked a, a Trump supporter and attacked a reporter. That's what they do. Now, you can read this on Gateway Pundit if you look it up, but this is a website, fakehatecrimes.org, where they are listing all these fake hate crimes where the LGBTQ and other left-wing liberals and anti-Trumpers report this stuff, and they're exposed. They're up to number 348. Now, if conservatives were doing that, or if Christians were doing that, it would be the lead story right now in the news. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But because it's the other way around, your liberal news media, 90% plus, are registered Democrats. They support financially and vote for liberals, and that's why they ignore this. And it's a warning to use wisdom. You got to be careful. The people we're going to talk about a little bit, actually it's in our text tonight, and I didn't do it on purpose. But you got to be careful who you surround yourself with. Yeah, Mark?
Yeah, this is no different than what Hitler did back.
Exactly.
Burns, what he did, had the Reichstag burned and blamed it on the Jews.
Yeah. Yep, and put out...
Several Jews innocently lost their lives because of that.
Amen. And of course, we're seeing the step up of anti-Semitism too right now. So it's not all, it's not an empty comparison by any means. All right, so let's go ahead and open our time of the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Pray now you bless the next few minutes as we look at Psalm 15. And we just thank you for the Holy Spirit and pray he helps us in our study. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, Psalm 15. There's five verses in this psalm. And so it's a psalm you can read very quickly, very easily. And if you turn there, we're going to read it, Psalm 15, 1 to 5. And while you're turning there, I want to remind you that we have these little Bible reading charts. They're against the wall here. And you can start anytime. 365 days of the year, you just look up the month and the day and start reading. Right now it'd be February, 13th? And so there's Psalm 44, and you'd start there and just start reading. And then you can read through the Bible in a year. And the way this is set up, you'll actually read through the Psalm and the Proverbs once, or twice, I mean, in a year. And then the rest of the Bible once. And the reason that is because I have tried to discourage people from using what they call daily devotionals. Daily devotionals have become a source of false teaching, false Bible versions, and a lot of people, they'll read a devotional and never read the Bible. And so it's milk, and you got to move on to the meat. And so instead of using devotionals written by human, fallible human beings, and you, they use a lot of bad versions and everything, a lot of them. Daily bread, remember that, our daily bread?
Oh, yes.
That's why we stopped using that. They switched to the New King James and started putting psychobabble stuff in there.
Now they're using the New International
Institute.
Really? Yep.
I didn't know that. And it's just, so what do you do? Well, Psalms is one of the most uplifting things in you ever read, even in the Bible itself. The Psalms is almost always uplifting, but sometimes it's also challenging, and you know, sometimes it'll speak to you in trouble, in trials, and in good times and bad times. Yeah, it's yeah, and then of course I know Doug does this. Speaking of Doug, that you read the Proverbs, and if you read, some people read one proverb a day every month, and that's a great practice too. But if you go through this schedule, you go through it twice a year. You want wisdom? Go to Proverbs. And so there you go. Just a reminder, those little schedules. So we're in Psalm 15, and I want to read all five verses. Just read it with me, beginning verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
Now, there's phrases in there you're going to see. If I were to ask you to explain them, some of you couldn't explain some of the phrases in here. Join the club. That's why we have these studies. There's a couple in here that I've been asked just the last few weeks. And we'll come across those and talk to them. But beginning of verse 1, it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And a lot of Christians just read that and kind of buzz right by because we don't have a tabernacle. We don't have a holy hill, literally. This church is not the temple. This church building is not the church. You are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Where two or more are gathered, He is right there in the midst. So any building can be a church building. There's some infantile Christians out there running around saying, I don't believe in buildings. I don't think you should have buildings. So they have their little church, they have their meetings in a basement or their living room. I got news for you. It's a building.
Yeah.
But that's how infants are. But it's real more. It's more real than many Christians realize. What I mean is that you, as you live your life, need to understand that God cares about your daily life. God observes your daily life. The part that I have that struggle with, not boasting, but I'm just being real with you, I don't have a lot of problem with, you know, running out and committing horrible sins, some kind of double life, but the thought life. That's the trouble with most Christians I know. The problem is if you don't, as Barney Fife would say, nip it in the bud, then it moves on to sin. Well, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. See, if you read through your Bible and you read through that proverb a couple times a year, it's going to get stuck up here. And then as you're out there doing something and you see some lady drop a $50 bill, we'll say, and you think, oh, I'll just wait till she leaves, and then after she leaves, I'll just mosey on over and pick that up and have me a $50 bonus, right? What you ought to do is say, ma'am, you dropped this. That's right. I've been in stores. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's been a couple times where they charged me, or they missed charging something, like a $2 or $3 thing, and I'm driving down the road heading home. I'm not turning around. I'm sorry. There's at some point, you know what? You got to take responsibility for the careless people you hire. Amen. But if I notice it and it's within reason, I go back and tell them, hey, you missed this thing here. You didn't charge me for it. And you ought to see the look on their faces because it happens. Watch, some of you may have had that opportunity and you just didn't pay attention. But it's quite a witness. You take something back that costs about, you know, 30 bucks, 40 bucks, and you take it back and say, you didn't charge me for that. They'll look at you like, what planet did you come from? And then you let them do their job, and then as you leave, give them a gospel tract. What better witness? Amen. Couple of you got it. But this text, verse 1, is not about eternal salvation. See? A lot of people read this and think, oh, this is Old Testament. Well, the text isn't about eternal salvation. This is about approaching God in this life now. This is about who can abide in the presence of the Lord. Who can abide? And it's about relationship. When this was written, David could literally, physically approach God in His presence in a physical tabernacle in thy holy hill in Jerusalem. See? But we're in a different dispensation. cracks me up, the fellas that try to act like that everything's the same. No, it ain't. You know what? The Bible says if you're a Christian, you're a priest. Well, if everything's the same, we ought to be able to jump on an airplane, fly to Israel, like Sister Shannon did here recently, and we ought to be able to go right in the temple and once a year even be a part of the rotation and go into the Holy of Holies, where on the ark would be the presence of God, this glory. Can't do that, can you? That might mean there's differences between dispensations.
Maybe.
A lot of goofballs out there teaching otherwise. Here's an artistic rendering of what David could actually go right up into that place. If you're a Gentile, this is as far as you'd get right here, this outer court, court of Gentiles. But if you're a Jew, you could go into the inner court. But then the priesthood would go into the holy place, and then once a year go into the most holy place, and there would be the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat, which is the throne of God. And on that mercy seat, the presence of God. And in that room, there was no lights. It was all layered in gold. And the presence of God would cause that place to light up. And it probably caused people to have to squint for the glory. Amen? Well, see, that's what David was talking about there. But you and I, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God in you. And now, things are different. Amen?
Amen.
So look at it again. Look, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And you immediately have to think about the fact that we now approach God not through a priesthood, but through the high priest, Jesus himself. Look over Hebrews chapter 4. Turn there real quick. Hebrews chapter 4. Beginning of verse 14. Hebrews 4, I'm going to read verse 14. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Our high priest is Jesus. He has passed into the heavens. That's in Acts chapter 1. He ascended into heaven. And he's identified for us clearly, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Read verse 15 with me. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." That's God became a man in Jesus Christ. And when he came here as a man, he didn't just sit around in a lotus position and humming or chanting mantras or whatever. He walked among men. Amen. He got hungry. Yep. He got tired. He got angry. Okay. He got happy. Mm-hmm. He got it all except for sin. Amen?
Amen.
The one thing Jesus never did was sin.
Amen.
So verse 16. Go ahead and read that with me. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now that's what ought to be able to happen. Everyone in this room, every Christian, has a relationship with God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, in the Spirit. And so you can, but see, it's not a throne room in the sense of having to go to a particular place. You hear people say, "Oh, I've got a prayer closet." There was a movie a couple years out that made a big deal about that. And I don't believe that. If you want to do that, you're free to do that. But I don't even think that's really a healthy thing. The prayer closet, when Jesus said that in the Gospels, it was still under the law. And there's still a difference between the way you had a relationship with the Lord then and now. Now, you know where your prayer closet is? Right there where you are. Wherever you are. Any time of the day, day or night, even in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., you can wake up laying in there in your bed and you're in your prayer closet right there. Because as Martha pointed, it's in your heart. So you don't have to pray out loud. You can pray to yourself. You can talk to the Lord while you're driving your car. And please don't bow your head and close your eyes.
Well, I'm sorry, you, one of those closets is cold.
Amen. Amen. And they, some of them smell like mothballs. You don't want to go into a literal closet. I prayed. It was such a wonderful thing for me when I first was saved. I thought you had to be in a place that was quiet. You had to be able to close your eyes and bow your head. And I even did the crossing thing because I didn't know any better. And I heard a sermon from a good preacher, and he preached some of what I was just saying. And I was working at Pizza Hut. And I went into work the next day, and I was just floating on a cloud because I realized the whole time I'm making dough and putting the sauce and throw on the stuff, and then they throw me on the dishwasher and all that. I can pray the whole time. Man, I mean, I was back there just to, I wasn't talking out loud, but and I was working next to a Mormon. And this Mormon fella comes up to me and he starts talking to me. And he says, you seem really happy. I said, well, I'm saved. There's something to be happy about. Well, he's a Mormon. He doesn't really understand what we mean. So I talked to him. One thing led to another. And I was able to present the gospel. But I also told him about the Mormon church. And he thought I was making it up. And he had a grandpa who was an old-time Methodist preacher. And I said, go talk to your grandpa. Your grandpa won't lie to you if you think I'm lying to you. He says, well, I'm not saying you're lying. I think you just got some misinformation. He goes and talks to his Methodist grandpa and gets saved.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, how'd that all happen? It was because I could enter into his tabernacle.
Amen.
And pray. And I try not to sound like I'm boasting. We don't want to go around making people think we think we're holier than thou or anything. But time after time through the years, I've been in prayer and just praying. And people approach me. Mm-hmm. And I get to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I know it's happened to some of you. I've heard your stories you tell. And we're told in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Because you're saved anytime, all you have to do is talk to your Father. Just talk to him anytime, anywhere. Christians then approach Psalm 15 with that backdrop. See, right there, just understanding your place and how this works. Now you approach Psalm 15 with a totally different attitude. You have a different backdrop. I want to look over at John 15 before we move on. I just had to throw this in there, and then I did, and then I think this is the text. Just a few minutes, like an hour later, Brother Sucherzewski, is that your, he posted that in our group. John 15, 9 to 11 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Read verse 11 if you're there. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. See, it's understanding how you approach God through Jesus, and you can do that anytime. You are the temple, so you can approach him and be with him in his tabernacles, in his holy hill. Anytime. And then you read verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Now remember, you're saved. This isn't about how to be saved. This is about how you can have a healthy relationship with your Savior. He's already saved you. But you can mess up the relationship. You can mess things up royally. And that then leads to you messing up your own life. Who's going to be able to enter into his tabernacles, into his holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. This is rare these days. Days of apostasy. So don't look at other Christians. Don't look at other Christians. Look at the Scripture. You want to know how to please God? Look at the Scripture.
Amen.
Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, 4 to 9. This is what's going on today. This is what always goes on during times of apostasy, and we're there. Very few churches still preach the gospel. Very few churches, I believe, have a majority of saved membership. Very few churches use the right Bible. Very few churches are looking for Jesus to rapture us out of here. Jeremiah 9, beginning verse 4 says, "Take heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother." Wow, isn't that something? "For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers." Now, I don't believe we're in the total apostasy yet. In Jeremiah's day, Israel was gone. There were very few. And there's coming a day here, as a matter of fact, the moment after the rapture, there'll be nobody left who is saved. All the saved have disappeared. There is nothing but complete apostasy on planet Earth. But as we approach that day, we see the stage being set, and the churches, one by one, are being readied to follow the one world order. And if you've been watching the news, the Pope has now signed an agreement with a Sunni imam representing a huge number of Muslims, and he's going around from one group to another wanting to sign basically the establishment of a one world religion. That's setting the stage, folks. We're getting close. And in times of apostasy, what we're reading right now, you're going to see more and more and more as we approach. It says, verse 5, "And they will deceive every one of his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity." Folks, anytime any liberal looks at you and says, "It's not a baby, it's a fetus," they have taught themselves to lie and speak lies to you. When they say, "He was born gay," that's a lie. God never created people to be sodomites any more than He did for you to be a thief or a liar or a blasphemer or any other wickedness. They have taught themselves lies and taught themselves to speak lies. You look at a transgender man and call him a woman, you're a liar. You look at a transgender woman and call that woman a man, you're a liar. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. And if you're going to save yourself from this wicked generation, you have to recognize that people today are like Stepfords. Go watch the movie of the Stepford Wives. That's what our culture has become. It's like they have no brain anymore. Lie after lie after lie after lie. That's why I defend the president. I don't really want to spend time talking about the president. But when you tell me that he says all Mexicans are rapists, you're a liar. He never said it. And when you say that he is pro-abortion, which some of these idiot Christians who call themselves Never Trumpers are bearing false witness against him. Liars who have taught themselves to lie. Did you hear that? I'm talking about the even professing Christians. I rebuked a man from Hiles Anderson this week. That's fundamental Christianity.
The solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.